Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Have you heard about the Iowa farmers, Ole and Olga? They were married for 20 years. They're celebrating an anniversary. And after 20 years, Olga was just beyond herself. She was starving for affection within her marriage. And so on that wedding anniversary, 20 years, she lost it and yelled at Ole, "Ole, you never tell me you love me." Ole thought about that for a moment, looked at Olga, his wife, and said, "Now listen, Olga, when I married you, the day I married you, I told you I love you. And if I change my mind, I'll let you know." Say it isn't so. Love needs to be shared, or genuine love needs to be shared in words and in actions. Love that is not shared is not love. Sabina, my wife, and I have a very cute and simple question that we ask each other quite often. I'll look at her, or she'll look at me, and we'll say to each other, "Do you love me?" Now, our response to that question is also very simple and cute. It goes like this: "Yeah, yeah, yeah." Why three times? I don't know. But the first "yah" is yes. The second "yah" is yes, you know I do. And the third "yah" is yes, you know I do. Now get back to work. Now, that response, that verbal response that we have for each other is anything but trivial or insignificant. It reaches to the very core of who we are. Two, united as one in body, soul, and mind. And it reminds us of our commitment to each other unto death. And what is important in this life: shared love, verbally and in action. Now, on a much grander scale, it is Jesus and Peter who communicate love to one another in our gospel reading for this morning. Jesus basically asks Peter three times. Now, it's probably because Peter publicly denied him three times, but there's more to it than even that. Three times, "Do you love me?" And basically, Peter answers, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." "Peter, do you love me?" More than these. And there's a question, there's an answer, but never forget, there is a response to this that Jesus requests. "Do you love me, Peter, more than these?" "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." "Feed my lambs." "Do you love me, Peter?" "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." "Tend my sheep." Notice, feed and now tend. Take care of. The third time, "Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he's a little grieved. It's like, "Okay, Lord, you know everything. And you know that I love you. Then feed my sheep." Now, this gets to the very core of who Peter is with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it reminds him of his commitment. and the way he's going to die, his commitment unto death. Because Jesus shares that, prophesies. But it also shares with Peter what is important in life. Shared love in action and in deed. Tending others, feeding others, caring for others. Now it is Paul in the 12th chapter of Romans who basically shares the same thing with us. Paul begins this series we're in with these words, the transformation that takes place. He talks about the transformation that God causes through the renewing of our mind, and that is rooted in love. Not the love according to the world. The world views love as just an emotion based upon a feeling to fulfill one's needs and desires. The love that Paul talks about, genuine Christian love, is a real human interaction based upon divine love or God's love, referred to the Bible as agape. And that love, divine love, moves us to use everything we are and have, our gifts, as Don Cook might have shared with you last week. Use our gifts, why? To love others. To help others. Listen to how Paul describes love. Let love be genuine. You know, the only genuine love that we have in our world is really God's love. It's called agape. It's what God has done for us. It's true and it's genuine. And that love has to be reflected in our life and must be genuine. That would mean real. Okay? And he kind of goes on to explain, what would that real, genuine, divine love shared through word and action with others kind of look like? Listen to what he says. Abhor. That means hate. Abhor what is evil. If you want genuine love, guess what the Bible says? You got to hate something else. Now, the world mixes that all up. The world wants us to conform our vision of love in kind of a warped way. The world looks at good and calls it evil, and looks at evil and calls it good. You know what the world abhors, hates, and wants you to? God, Christianity, prayer, religion. The world condones something God speaks against, murder, and says a woman has the right to abort. When it comes to marriage and sex, the world wants no limitations. The world teaches it's greener on the other side. And that's a lie. And that's evil. Love, genuine, divine love, says there's right and there's wrong in our world. And I'm going to stand up for what's good. And I'm going to speak or stand against what is evil. Listen to what Paul says. Hold fast to what is good. That means glue yourself to what is good. What is good in our world? Ever thought about that? The only thing that is really good in our world is what God has done for our world, for you and for me. He has sent his one and only Son. God's grace, God's love is the only thing good in our world, and we must cling to that. It is God who has established the church, and the church is to be good in this world. Although it is full of sinners, we are united as a body, and it is the church that has done great good in our world, like establishing hospitals, orphanages, food banks. At one time, all the schools in our country were started by the church, and of course, the government has taken that all over. But the good that the church has provided in our world is something we should cling to because we're a part of it. We make up the church. Hold to what is good. Listen to these words. Love one another with brotherly love. Love one another with brotherly and sisterly love. Black lives matter? Absolutely. Yes, it is a movement. Where is the foundation found for that? It doesn't exclude all matters, all lives, excuse me. But it's founded in Scripture. Listen to the words of Paul found in Galatians chapter 3, 28. Neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, slave nor free, for we are all united as one in Christ Jesus. Wow. Amen is right. Listen to how he goes on. With brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Competition runs rampant in our world today. You know what competition in the Bible is? I'm going to outdo you when it comes to honoring him or her. Oh, we're real good at honoring the military, right? But is everybody in the military perfect? No. We must honor police officers. Is every one of them perfect? No. We do a great job honoring doctors and nurses and firemen. And we should, but we must also equally honor the clerk at the grocery store, the janitor that cleans up our messes, the homeless person and the destitute person. Can you imagine a world where we trip over ourselves to honor somebody more than the next? Wow. Can I get an amen or a hallelujah? Yeah. I prefer the hallelujah. I'll tell you why, because it's made up of two Hebrew words. One a full word, the other abbreviated. Hallel or hallel, praise. And Yah is short for Yahweh, God. Okay? So when I said to my wife, when she said, do you know me? I go, Yah, Yah, Yah. Another way of saying it, I said, yes, yes, yes. God, God, God. Yah, Yah, Yah. You get it? Okay? But that Yah, yes, is connected because my love to the divine. So when I say yes, Yah, I mean it with the love of God. Yes, by the grace of God, I love you. Yes, by the grace of God, I'm committed to you. Yes, by the grace of God, I'll feed your lambs. Yes, by the grace of God, I'll tend others. Because genuine love from God must be shared in word and action and in deed. We are called by God to tend the others, the brothers, and to honor people by feeding them and loving them. So another way, yeah, 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 by the grace of God. There's a song that I truly love because it comes right from Scripture, from 1 Corinthians 15. It is called, But by the Grace of God. It is sung by somebody you may know, Keith Urban. Does anybody recognize the name Keith Urban? He married Nicole Kidman. Do you realize they're both Christians? They named their two children Sunday and Faith. And as I shared with the folks at our Savior this morning, the only difference between a religious song that was written 500 years ago and a religious song today that is sung is the label that we place on it. We might say one is evil, one is good, country, western, or religious. If somebody sings about the Word of God and the grace of God and the love of God, that is something we should say is so good. I want you to know something. God is happy with you. Jeff stood up here and sang this morning. Do you realize that? Sin, our sinful nature, it separates us from God. But because of Christ, God looks at you. And you know what makes God happy? You. He looks at you and he says, you're forgiven. I love you. What makes God happy is to love you. He smiles. He loves you. Well, in this song, Keith Urban sings about how the people in his apartment upstairs are arguing. That the streets, there is no peace in the streets, and everybody is shouting. Does that kind of sound like our world today a little bit? And he says he turns up the radio to drown out all the noise and the lack of peace, but it doesn't do the trick. So he sings about, I say a little prayer, but by the grace of God, I go. He gets on his coat and goes outside to the streets by himself, but he's not by himself. And he sings, only heaven knows how I've been blessed by the gift of your love. And as he looks around the streets and the people not getting along, he says these words, as I look around, all I see is your happiness embracing me. Oh, Lord, I'd be lost. But by the grace of God. But for the grace of God. And then as he's walking, he sees a very rich man. Has a nice car, nice house. But he's so poor. Why? Because nobody visits him in his house. Nobody calls him. All he has, this rich man, all he has is things. And he's pondering that. And Keith Urban sings, then I say a little prayer. But by the grace of God go I. Overcome by the things of the world. Conformed by the world. Arguing and shouting like the world. Then he pauses and he realizes, heaven only knows how I've been blessed by the gift of your love. When I look around, when you look around, what do you see in this world? Do you see the world or do you see God? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil one, because your rod and your staff, your grace, your love, your forgiveness, your happiness comforts me. As I look around, all I see, Keith Urban sings, is your happiness that embraces me. Oh, Lord, I'd be lost, but for the grace of God. In fact, I want you to listen to that song. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 10, Paul is asked about his apostleship. Oh, you're an apostle. You know what his response is? But by the grace of God. Are you a Christian? But by the grace of God. You know, I truly believe if Jesus stood right here this morning in front of all of you, I believe he'd ask you three questions. I think he'd look at you and say, Mike, do you love me? Don, do you love me? And my prayer is this, you would answer, yeah. That means yes. Yeah, God, I love you. But do you realize that love must be reflected and shared? I think the second question, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Family, friends? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Oh, you may be a little grieved with him, and he'd ask you the third time, do you love me? Lord, you know everything. You're all knowing. You know my heart and soul. You know I love you. Yeah. Feed, tend my lambs. That is others that I've placed in your life. You see, that gets to the very core of who we are in body, mind, and soul. We are married to Christ. He's the bride. Excuse me. He's the groom. We're the bride. And the words of Paul today should remind us of two things. Number one, our commitment, our vow to him. And what's important in this life, shared love. Amen.